today we're going to be concluding the series as we continue. We're not concluding today, but next week we'll be concluding the series, getting out of your comfort zone. Two more weeks left this Sunday and next Sunday. Getting out of your comfort zone. How many are ready to get out of your comfort zone? Turn to your neighbor and say, you only got 2 weeks left. You better get on board. God is calling us out of our comfort zone. We've been talking about the last several weeks about how God takes us out of our comfort zone. We're learning that God is wanting to defeat the lazy boy spirit in us, causing us to focus our attention from inward to outward, that he's called us to reach the dying and lost generation, to show his love to all people, to be fishers of men. If you're following, you're fishing. So if you're not fishing, you're not following. Oh, I'm a disciple of Christ. I'm a follower of Jesus. Why are you fishing? Because if you're not fishing for men, then you're not truly a follower, according to what Jesus said. He said, follow after me, and I will make you what? Fishers of men. So we're learning what it means to be a follower of Jesus. It's also to learn to be a fisher of men. It's also learning to get out of our comfort, learning to give God control, surrender our life, learning to take off our shoes. Learning that in the Old Testament, we talked about that scripture. Remember, we talked about that theme for our Sunday when we talked about taking off our shoes was significant in scripture. It meant giving up your right to. And we took off our shoes that morning. We worshiped the Lord in our socks. It was kind of crazy around here. I saw a first-time guest come in and walk out the back door like it was kind of crazy. But, you know, it was all right because sometimes we just got to be obedient what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. And as we talked about the significance of taking off our shoes, it signified in the Old Testament, it signifying saying, God, I'm giving up control. I think we learned that God takes us left to what? Make us right. That many times God takes us left to get us right. Last week, Pastor Matt talked about that we've got to look at ourselves and realize we got to grow up and that we can't stay in a state of immaturity forever. It's all right when you're first a Christian to be on Christian milk, to be on the Word of God in the milk and take it in bite-sized pieces. But as we grow up, that many of us stay on the pacifier, many of us stay on the bottle for way too long. And that we got to learn to grow up and take on the meat of God's Word and apply the meat of God's Word to us. Learning to love God with all of our heart and learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. Those things are equally as important as we learned last week. Those things go hand-in-hand together. We can't do one without the other. They are just as important. Today I want to talk to you about when God pushes you out of your comfort zone. When God pushes you out of your comfort zone. How many of you know sometimes God's got to come to us and he's got to tilt the chair forward and kind of give you a push out of your comfort zone? Because for many of us, we get stuck right here. For many of us, we'll live our life right here in the comfort zone. And since because of that God forces us out of our comfort zone to face things in our life, they're going to cause us to grow. They're going to cause us to stretch in our relationship with him because he loves you too much to let you stay here. I have children that sometimes I got to kick them out of their comfort zone. Their comfort zone is playing PlayStation all day long. Go take a shower. I took a shower 2 weeks ago. Why do I need to do that? I'm just about to break the record, Dad. I've been playing this game for 3 days straight, you know. The comfort zone's right there. And I got to walk up and I got to push the power button off and say, go outside. Exercise. Get some sunlight. And I push them outside. They're like, the sunlight. What is that? I've never seen that before. I remember the days when you used to play from the time the sun came up to the time the sun went down and we went outside and we played. Okay? Our kids don't know that. So sometimes we got to turn off the PlayStation and get them out to play. Sometimes God does the same thing to us. He's got to say, you know what? I'm getting you out of your comfort zone. Get up. Get out there. Face the storms that are coming your way. Today we're talking about this. When God pushes us out of your comfort zone, we're going to be looking. How many of we all go through seasons in life? We do. We all go through seasons in life. And some of us are going through tough seasons. Some of us are going through good seasons. But every one of us go through seasons in our life. Either you're coming through a tough season or you're going into a tough season or you come out of the tough season. But either way, we all go through seasons in our life. And these seasons, it's one thing we all have in common. We all have them. We all have good seasons. We all have bad seasons. We all have tough seasons. We all have seasons when, man, things are just, they couldn't be any better. But we all go through seasons in our life. And I want to talk to you about when God takes these hard seasons and causes us to face them head on. What do you do when you get into a rough season? We're going to read out of Matthew chapter 14 today. Before we read this, the story we're going to be looking at today is basically two things that happen here, two miracles that happen. The first miracle is when Jesus was feeding the 5,000. Remember that story? The Bible says that he was out teaching, doing miracles and teaching. The crowd followed him out to the side of town, and they kept following. The crowd kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. The finally, the disciples were like, Jesus, send these guys away. There's no food to eat, and they're going to be starving, so go ahead and send them away. There's nowhere to buy food around here. The hour's too late. You know, there's no 24-hour drive-thrus that can handle 30,000 people at one time. You see, 30,000 people, the scripture says there was 5,000 men. That's not including women and children. So they estimated 30,000 to 40,000 people were probably there at this very instant. And Jesus asked, what do you have? You feed them. And they go around, they shop around, they find out the only one little boy still got his lunch there. He's got a couple of sardines and a couple pieces of bread. It says Jesus took that, blessed it, and broke it off and began to fill those baskets up. Can you imagine that happening? I mean, he's praying and breaking it, boom, boom, praying and breaking it, boom. And it just multiplies, and Jesus feeds 30,000 people with one little boy's lunch. And then immediately after that, he tells them to get into the boat and to head to the other side. And while they're out there going to the other side, they face a big storm. And that's when Jesus came walking to him on the water. Remember that? Jesus came walking to the water, and Peter said, Jesus, that's you. Bid me to come to you. And he calls to him. Peter gets out of the boat and begins to walk to him. And then when he looks around at the waves of the sea, he gets scared and begins to sink and calls out to Jesus, and Jesus picks him up and takes him back to the boat. Remember this? This is an awesome, awesome story. Many of you heard this story growing up. Maybe you've never been raised in church, and maybe it's the first time you've heard the story. Awesome story. We're going to read it here in Matthew chapter 14. Let's pick it up in verse 19 through 22. He commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and then looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke it, gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave it to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up the 12 baskets full of fragments. Everybody say the crumbs. Remember that. They had 12 baskets full of crumbs left over that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men. That's not including the women and the children. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat. Everybody say immediately. That's important to know. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. So this is what's happening. Jesus is doing this great miracle. I mean, everybody's hungry. Jesus takes one little lunch a little boy has, and he multiplies it. I mean, he prays for it. He blesses it. He breaks it off and begins to fill the baskets up. Boom, boom. They're like, one fish goes in, boom, another one appears. Another one goes in, boom, another one appears. Bread goes in the bang, boom, another one appears. I mean, just bam, bam, bam. Everything he does, he breaks off the bread and the bread grows back. He breaks off the fish grows back. 30,000 times. He made 30,000 meals right before their eyes out of one meal. Boom, boom, boom. You're talking about a buzz in the crowd. You talk about people looking, going, wow, this is awesome. Did you see Jesus, what he just did? He fed 30,000 people with one boy's lunch. Talk about the buzz and excitement of that miracle. I mean, the place was rolling. People were just talking about it. Did you see it? And while everybody else is enjoying the miracle of the fish and chips, Jesus tells his disciples, get in the boat and head over to the other side immediately. Then he dismisses the multitude. I mean, the disciples don't even get to stick around and say, like, boy, did you see that? I'm the one that found the lunch. Well, I'm the one that passed out the bread. You know, they couldn't even enjoy it. They couldn't even enjoy this miracle. Jesus is like, all right, get in your boat and head to the other side, and I'll meet you over there. And he sends them away, and after they go away, then he dismisses the multitude. So they're all still there, gathered around the miracle, having fun on the sidelines, staying dry, relaxing with a full tummy, eating the fish and chips. I mean, life is great for those 30,000. Man, they just got the best meal they've ever had in their life, probably. Jesus had prepared them this great fish and chips meal. And so the disciples are like, we're going to get the boat. We got to roll across the other side. And they get to sit around and they get to bask in this. You know, can you imagine the kind of disgruntlement they were probably facing each other as they're getting the boat rolling? You know? Oh, he's making us roll to the other side. The first point I want you to get today is just to remember that when you're in that situation, you are rowing by God's instruction. You are rowing by God's instruction. Because let me tell you this, that if you're a Christian here today, your life is ordained to God. There's no accidents. You're not facing life storms because it's an accident. But God is in control of your life. And when he's asked you to go out and face your storm, he's asked you to go out and row your boat. Even when things don't seem like it's the best timing, even when you'd rather stay on the bank, even when you'd rather stay with everybody else and celebrate and have some more fish and chips, Jesus says, get in your boat and head the other side. And you get out there and the wind's blowing in your face and you're rowing your boat and you're like, you know, you're upset. Realize just that you are doing this because you're being obedient to God. You are rowing because he gave you instructions and he is in charge of your life. What you got to realize is this, God put them in this storm. God, there was a storm coming. Jesus knew the storm was coming. They knew the storm was coming. And God said, get out there and row to the other side, knowing they were going to be right in the middle of the storm. So the question is this, would God intentionally put me in the middle of a storm? Yes! Isn't that just like God? Somebody's like, I was afraid you was going to say that. Yes, let me say this to you. God does not always cause our storms, but he always, always is in helping us face our storms of our life. Some of our storms, we get there because we made some stupid decisions. We can all admit that and know that. Other times are things that are out of our control. But either way, when God says, I want you to row, when God says, I want you to get in the boat and head to the other side, he knows you're heading for a storm. And what you don't get is this, that while everybody else is sitting on the sidelines having fish and chips, and you're out there in the middle of your storm, they don't realize that you get a chance to see God in a way they never get to see God. God's getting ready to reveal himself to you in a way that the people eating fish and chips aren't going to understand. He's getting ready to show up in a way that they can't comprehend. And let me tell you this, that this was not judgment for their past. God was not judging them for their past. Well, I knew that, boy, back in 1999, I blew it. And so this is why I'm going through the storm. I told you, honey. You should have never married me. I've done too many bad things. And this storm's all because I was a bad person at one time in my life. The storm is because you're a person. And God's wanting you to go through the storm so he can show up in your life and reveal himself to you in a way you've never experienced before. Matthew 14:33, look what it says. He said to them, come. Remember he said to Peter, come. And Peter, what did he do? And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him, and said to him, oh, you little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him. Look what they said. Who was in the boat? Disciples, right? So disciples came to him and said this, truly, you are the Son of God. And this is what you got to realize is this right here, that the disciples seen the blinded eyes open and they didn't understand. They seen leopards healed and didn't understand. They saw Jesus feed 30,000 people fish and chips with none of the boys' lunch, and they didn't have the revelation. But when Jesus showed up in the middle of their storm, they said their eyes were open, and they said, truly, you are the Son of God. Because, see, realize this, that it's only in the middle of your storm will God reveal himself to you in a real way. You can't have a personal revelation of who God is until you face with him in the storm. It's in the storm that God wants to show up. and show you just who he is. It's when you're sinking down in your storm and all of a sudden he comes walking on the water as the one who's going to pull you out. It's God showing up in the middle of your storm and showing himself who he is to you. You can't find that information out just by hearing about it. Grandpa, tell me about the good old days. I love hearing stories from grandparents. I love hearing stories about the good old days. There's some good stories out there. There's some great testimonies, and they can really build your faith. But let me tell you this. You can only experience your eyes being open. Your faith can be built off what happened to Mom. Your faith can be built off what happened to Grandpa. But the only true revelation that you'll have is when God and you face a storm together and God shows up and walks in the middle of your storm with you personally. God wants you to face your storm so that he can show up in the middle of your storm. Did he cause the storm to happen? No. But sometimes he pushes us out anyway and says, all right, I want you to go head first into the storm. I want you to face the storm because I'm going to show up. I'm going to show out. I'm going to show you who I am. Look what Matthew 14, 23 says. After he had dismissed them, he went upon the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there all alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land. It's being hit by the waves because the wind was against it. The wind was against it. You ever had those days when you get up, it's like the wind's just blowing right in your face and you can't go anywhere? I mean, you ever had those days you get up and it's like the wind's at your back and it's like, whoa, it's good. Everything is easy. Everything is happening. I mean, your boss is super nice to you. You're getting a raise here and this happens. And I mean, people are just nice to your face. Everything you do touch seems to be turning a buck, you know, the quota's going off the chart without you even trying. I mean, things are happening. It's like, man, this is good. It's great to be me. And then other days you get up and it's like, whoo! It's like, man, it's a hurricane. And you're trying to get through and it's like the wind's just blowing you. For every step you take forward, you take two steps back because you're blown back. The wind's blowing in your face. We've all had those days. Sometimes life seems this way. But you know what you do when the wind blows in your face? Jesus sent them knowing that the wind was blowing in their face. He sent them to go to the other side knowing the wind was blowing the opposite direction. Knowing it was going to be so hard for them to get there. But what do you do when the wind blows in your face? Are you ready for this answer? Keep rowing. When you get up and, man, it's blowing your face and you feel like you're taking two steps back for every step forward, keep rowing. When your arms are tired, what do? Keep rowing. When your arms feel cramps, what do? Keep rowing. Because God has got you in the middle of the storm and God's about to show up just about the time you give out. But don't give up. Just because the wind is blowing against you doesn't mean that you did anything wrong. These disciples had done nothing wrong. They went and got the little boy's lunch. Jesus did a miracle with it. Hooray, hooray. 30,000 people have just been fed. I mean, this is one of the greatest miracles we've ever recorded in the Bible. Awesome. They had done nothing wrong. And now they got to go face a storm? Just because you get up and you face some hard things in your life doesn't mean you've done anything wrong. Doesn't mean God's trying to punish you. Doesn't mean that you are reaping something bad in your life. Sometimes you just got to face the hard winds of life. Sometimes you have to get up and say, God, oh, this is hard, but it's nothing I didn't do wrong. Many times we'll get up and say, well, this was all me. Back in 2002, I blew it, and this is why. And we blame it all on ourselves. Stop blaming yourself. Get up and keep rolling. Our second thing is when we face these times, when you can't see him, know this, he still sees you. When you can't see him, know he still sees you. Mark chapter 6, this story is recorded also in Mark. Let's read it, man. Chapter 6, I love the way it's said here, verses 46 to 48. And Jesus has sent them away. He departed to the mountain to pray. Now the evening came, the boat was where? In the middle of the sea. And he was alone on the land, and he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about fourth watch of the night, that's about 3 o'clock in the morning, about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. Know this, that they've studied the story out, and they believe, they've done the timing of the story, and the theologians have studied this all out, been right there at that sea. They say that the boat was probably approximately about 4 miles away from shore. So there's no way, if you're 4 miles out, you're going to see anybody standing on the bank. Okay, just our eyes are not that good. But it says Jesus was on the mountaintop praying, and he looked out, and he saw them, what? Straining to row. Which means this, even though they look back and they don't see Jesus anywhere, Jesus was still seeing them. And when you're there and you're rowing, all right, Pastor, I do, but man, I just say, see God, I don't feel him the way I used to. Oh, I can't come into worship, and I can't feel his presence the way I used to, and I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and nothing feels the way it used to. I'm tired. Does God even see me? Yes, he does. He sees you. He sees you, and even when you can't see him, you never leave his sight. Even when you can't see him, he never stops looking at you. He never stops watching. He's watching you, even when you're straining. God watches to see if we're still rowing. He's watching to see, are you still rowing? Have you given up, or are you still giving everything you got? Are you still doing what I've asked you to do? He told them to get in the boat and to go to the other side. And so, man, they were giving everything they got. They were rowing, even though the wind was in their face. They were rowing, even though it was taking them a lot longer to get there than what it should have. They were not giving up. They were going. And God looked out and saw them straining to what? To row. God was checking. Are they still going? Meantime, God's looking at us saying, are you still trying? Are you still doing the very thing I've asked you to do? Or have you given up? And God's looking to see, are we willing to do what he's asked us to do? Which brings us to number three. When rowing is tough, pick up some breadcrumbs. When the rowing is tough, pick up some breadcrumbs. Remember me talking about this in the first scripture I read and told you to say breadcrumbs? It says they picked up 12 baskets full of crumbs of leftovers. 12 baskets full. Can you imagine them there? And this is what I mean by this, is that we see this happening, and Jesus talks about it in the scripture, Mark 6:52. Then he climbed into the boat, and the wind stopped. And they were totally amazed, for they still, look at what it says, for they still didn't understand the significance of the miracle of the bread, of the loaves. Their hearts were too hard to take it in. This is the problem. This is what Jesus was saying right here, the scriptures teach us. Man, they're there rowing in the boat. And man, they're giving everything they got. The wind's blowing in their face. The waves are tossing them around. They're getting fearful. It's harder and harder to row. And they begin to panic. They had just left the fish and chips miracle. They had just left Jesus feeding 30,000 people. I mean, we're talking about just a few hours ago. Surely, Peter, who had a beard like Uncle Si, had some breadcrumbs in that beard. Surely somebody else in the boat, Matthew, on his robe, had some breadcrumbs still hanging around. They probably still had some bread stuck to their braces. I mean, come on, kids, you know what I'm saying? Look around. There were some breadcrumbs. That miracle was so fresh, they still had some breadcrumbs hanging around. Their hands probably still smelled like tuna. I mean, it was bad. But yet, they couldn't even remember. They were getting fearful. And Jesus is like, they didn't even realize significance. They're out there in the middle of the storm. Jesus had just fed 30,000 people. Now they're getting afraid. It's in those times in your life when you're facing the storm. But you got to sit down and say, you know what? I'm going to pick up my breadcrumbs. When I'm going through this tough storm in my life and my arms get tired, JD, And I'm rolling. I'm like, man, I got to think back. God, I remember 8 years ago when you did a miracle in my life. And I pick up that crumb and say, God, I remember that you sustained me through that. And I get up and I give a praise that nobody else can understand because you haven't walked that praise. You go through life's hardest seasons in your life and things are happening. And you reach down and you know what? You say, you know what? I can still look at those breadcrumbs and remember when God brought me through. And even though I'm going through a tough season right now, I remember the way things were 2 years ago. And it seemed like there was no way. God, that crumb's still there. And I give God a praise that nobody else can understand. And that praise makes no sense to nobody else but you. But you get up and you take that breadcrumb and say, God, I thank you that, God, you sustained me through my toughest season. God, I thank you that even though I got a bad report, that, God, you sustained me. Even though I got a pink slip at my job, God, you sustained me. Even though my marriage was rocky, God, you sustained me. Even though my children were having a hard time, God, you sustained me. And, God, you brought me out. And, God, you did a miracle. And nobody else can understand this crumb but me. You say, Pastor, you're way too old and out of shape to be jumping up during praise and worship like that. I can't help it because you don't understand my crumbs. You don't understand my God has brought me through. You don't understand the testimony that God has got in my life. And every time I pick those crumbs up, I remember, God, only you brought me out. God, only you sustained me. God, only you did the miracle that nobody else can understand. And it's in those times when your arms begin to cramp and you get tired and weary in the middle of that storm that you pick up those breadcrumbs and remember what God has done in your life. And say, God, I'm not in the middle of my storm, I'm going to praise you. In the middle of this wind, I'm going to praise you. In the middle of this turmoil, God, I'm going to praise you. In the middle of uncertainty, God, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to refuse to be silent, but God, I'm going to praise you. Can you imagine as they were getting scared, if someone would have picked up that little cracker or something out of their beard and said, look, remember when God took this little piece right here and fed 30,000 people? I think he's going to take care of us in this boat. It's going to be okay. They didn't have the revelation. It was only until he showed up in the middle of the storm that they had that revelation. So learn to pick up your breadcrumbs and praise the Lord now. Which brings me to our last point, which is simply this. The last point is this. Always remember to welcome Jesus on board. Always remember to welcome Jesus on board. Let me read something to you maybe you've never seen before. I want to point it out to you in Scripture. Mark 6:48. Talking about Jesus, he saw that they were in serious trouble, rowing hard and struggling against the wind and waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them. Look what it says. It came toward them. It said he was coming toward the boat. I mean, it said he was coming to get in the boat. It says he was coming toward them, walking on the water. What's this last line say? He intended to what? Go past them. Jesus never intended to get in the boat. That's something you just messed up right there. You just blew my theology out the window. Some of you didn't realize that. Jesus never intended on getting in the boat. Oh, he intended on showing up at the midnight hour. He intended on showing up at 3 o'clock when they were most scared and walking by and letting them know, hey, you're not walking alone. I'm right here beside you. I'm right here with you in the middle of the storm. If you just pick your head up and look, you'll see I've got your anchor. I've got your lead line. I'm taking you. But it wasn't until they cried out to him that he came to their boat. So in the middle of your storm, not only know that he is guiding you and leading you and out there walking with you, but say, Jesus, come and get in my boat. Because those who call upon the Lord, what? He will draw near to you. Don't forget to say, God, I need you to draw near to me. Not only lead me like you promised as you would, God. Not only will you carry me through this tough season, but God, I want you to come and get in my boat with me. And he'll come and he'll sit down right next to you and wrap his arms around you. And you'll feel his Holy Spirit wrap himself around you, drawing you close, doing something great in your life. Today, how many people say, Pastor, I'm going through a storm in my life? Just about every person in this room is either going through a storm or just came through a storm. How many are ready today to say, Pastor, I'm ready? I'm ready today to say, God, I'm ready for you to lead me. I'm ready to face this head on. I don't want these storms to take me under, but today I want to say, God, I'm going to face the storm that you're choosing me to walk through, that you've asked me to walk through. And I know that you're going to carry me. I know that you're going to sustain me. I'm going to keep on rolling. If that's you today, I want you to stand on your feet. You say, Pastor, I'm ready today to face my storm, whatever you're going through. I'm ready today for God to be great in my life. I'm ready to trust him. I don't want to get walking in fear and be dependent upon things that I have uncertainty in. But today, I'm ready to say, God, I'm ready to put my full trust in you. We're going to close out with this song, and as we do, I'm going to invite you to come to the front and join me here. We're going to sing this song, which simply says this, that he's my portion, he's my deliverer, he's the one who sets my feet upon the rock to stay, he's my anchor, he returns our joy, he's a shield about us. How many know that God is wanting to protect you? He's wanting to raise you up today. As you're coming down to the front today, scoot up to the little front here, make room for those coming in behind you. Thank you. So what I want you to do, I want you to come to the front, and I want you to remember your crumbs, okay? Those of you who God said something in your life in the past, I want you to remember those crumbs right now. I want you to pick those up. They can't praise you. They can't praise your praise. There's not too many people that can praise your praise this morning, but you can pick that up. Travis, there's not too many people can praise your praise this morning, but you can pick your crumb up and say, God, you sustain me in my darkest hour. What is your crumb this morning? Pick that crumb up. Say, God, I'm going to thank you. God, you've been faithful in my darkest hour, in my toughest wind, in my toughest storm. God, you've been faithful. And God, I'm going to praise you through the storm. I'm going to praise you no matter what I face in my life. I'm going to learn to give you all of my life. Come on, let's raise our hands one more time. Father, we love you today, God. We give you all of our life today, Father.
I will bless the Lord forever. I will trust my old time. He has delivered me from all fears. He has set my feet upon a rock. And I will not be moved. I'll say of shelter, strong tower, that you have made me glad. I'll say of the Lord.
I'll say of the Lord.
You have made me glad.
You have made me glad.
Oh Lord.
I'll say of the Lord.
You are my shield, my strength, my portion, deliverer, my shelter, strong tower, my very present help. You are my shield, oh Lord, my portion, deliverer, my shelter.
I love the words of this song because it comes straight out of Scripture. It talks about what Christ is to us, what God is to us. I love this, the words that's used here, my portion. Shield and strength, deliverer, shelter, strong tower. We can understand those things pretty easy, what those things mean in strength-wise, protecting us. But my portion is such a personal piece, such a personal word. For those of you who have small children, you remember at Thanksgiving when you made the plates for your children? You knew each child exactly what they wanted, didn't you? Your moms and dads, you're making those plates. You know which kid wanted double stuffing, and you know which kid won't touch the stuffing. You know which kid wants the candy yams, and which kid won't touch the candy yams. You know which kid wants the gravy, and what kid doesn't want the gravy. And you make that plate, it is exactly to the portion of you know that child, because you know that child intimately. So today, every one of us here, we're going through different storms in our life. We're going through different things in our life. But this is the awesome news about our Savior, that He knows us in such a personal way, that He knows exactly the portion that you need today. And so my job is to say, Father, I'm hungry. Father, I need you in the middle of my storm, and He brings the portion that I need. So let's raise our hands one more time as we sing this words, as we sing this phrase. Let's sing it from my heart and thank the Lord that He's my portion, my shield, my strength. Come on.
You are my shield, my strength, my portion, deliverer, my shelter, strong tower.
Strong tower.
receive that word from the Lord today, put your hands together and come into agreement with that. Can we do that, Father? We come into agreement with your word spoken over our life today. Yes. Come on, you can do better now. Give him a praise this morning. Hallelujah. Father, we praise you. Thank you, Father, that you carry us, sustain us, walk us through our storm, Father. Thank you very much. God, we love you. Turn to somebody, give them a hug, high fives. It's good to be with you today. We'll see you tonight. God bless you.